2 Samuel chapter number 18. So as I know that this message probably isn't going to be for everybody. I have tried every way I can think of to broaden the target audience of this message. This message just is what it is. And so I'm just going to preach it, and wherever it falls, whatever it falls in your lap, there you go.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 18, if you would please stand, bear with some reading of God's Word. I do need to read several verses of Scripture, but I'm going to try to read them as fast as my confused hillbilly tongue will read them, and then I'm going to share some thoughts with you today. 2 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse number 17. Micah said, "And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, everyone, to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up a pillar, which is the king's dale, for he said, 'I have no son, keep my name in remembrance.' And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, 'Let me now run, and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies.' And Joab said unto him, 'Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead.' Then said Joab to Cushai, 'Go tell the king what thou hast seen.' Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, 'But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai.' Joab said, 'Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings written?' 'But howsoever,' said he, 'let me run.' And he said unto him, 'Run.' Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate of the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, 'If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth.' And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, 'Behold, another man running alone.' And the king said, 'He also bringeth tidings.' And the watchman said, 'Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok.' And the king said, 'He is a good man, and cometh with good tidings.' And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, 'All is well.' He fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, 'Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king.' The king said, 'Is the young man Absalom safe?' And Ahimaaz answered, 'When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, "Turn aside and stand here." And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, 'Tidings, my lord the king. For the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee.' And the king said unto Cushai, 'Is the young man Absalom safe?' And Cushai answered, 'The enemies of thy lord the king, all that rise up against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is.' The king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, 'Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son.'" Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Let's just jump right into this today. We acknowledge the Lord. We need the Lord to help us, and we pray and trust Him to do that He sees fit. In our text today, we're introduced to this man named Ahimaaz. And if you are like me, you're sure you've read this text before, and you've read this man's name before. But you can't recollect very much about his life as is recorded in the Scriptures. For the sake of introduction, real quickly, I want to just throw some background information out there about Ahimaaz, and then we'll get into the thought here. I want to show you the differentiation. There's three men in the Bible by the name of Ahimaaz. One was King Saul's father-in-law, father of Ahinoam, in 1 Samuel 14:50. One was King Solomon's son-in-law, who married Basemath, in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 15. The other is, in our text, the son Zadok. He's mentioned all in 2 Samuel 15, 17, and 18, as well as in a lineage of 1 Chronicles chapter number 6. Just differentiating between the Ahimaazes in the Bible. Secondly, definitions of some names here. The word Ahimaaz, Strong's Concordance, it means brother of anger. Easton's Bible Dictionary, that name means brother of anger or irascible. That is, having or showing a tendency to be easily angered. International Standard Bible Dictionary means my brother is rage or brother of rage. And then Hitchcock's Bible Names Dictionary said his name means brother of the council. So his name seems to indicate that he is known to be, if I interpret this right, he is known to be the brother of an angry man. And it seems as though he might even be the younger of those brothers. That being said, what's that have to do with anything? I don't know. I'm just giving you some things to say. Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. That name Zadok, it means just. And it comes from a word meaning to make right, cleanse, clear self, do justice, justify, turn to righteousness. So here you have Ahimaaz. And this is kind of, seems like his family dynamic. His brother's Ahi.
Yeah.
His brother is his brother of anger, brother of rage. And the other side here, you have his dad. And his dad is a man of justice, a man of that is justified, a man that is righteous. So that's an interesting family dynamic. I dare say there are probably some in here today who have a similar dynamic. Maybe have a sibling that is just given to anger and given to fits of rage and irrational actions and behavior. But yet they have a parent that is a righteous person and a godly person.
Right.
And a person that wants to live right, do right, and be right. Yes. So notice those definitions. Then we give you just a detail here, and then we'll jump in. During Absalom's rebellion, we read here that Ahimaaz carried to David the news that Ahithophel had counseled an immediate attack upon David and his followers, as in 2 Samuel 15 and 17. Afterwards, he's the first in our text to bring the king news of Absalom's defeat. Now, with all that said, got that out of the way, look in your text in chapter 18. I want to read just a portion of three verses to draw our thought out. Verse number 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run.
Oh, yeah.
Verse number 22. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run.
Right.
Verse 23. But howsoever, said he, let me run.
Yeah.
Three times Ahimaaz asked Joab, beg Joab, beseeches Joab, just let me run.
Yeah.
Let me run, Joab, let me run. So what about this running, the word run there? Listen to me now. If you'll get this couple of definitions, then it'll start making sense to you, and then we'll take off running, no pun intended. So the word run there, it means to run.
Yeah, what's that?
It means to run for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It means to break down, divide speedily. It means footman, guard, bringing hastily, make run, run away, run through repose. He's saying, I need to run.
Yeah.
I've got something I need to run for. I've got something I need to break down. I've got something I need to divide. There's just something I've got to bring. I need to run. Now, what is it that he feels like he needs to do when he runs? Well, he said that in verse number 19 to bear the king tidings. That word tidings means to be fresh, full, rosy, cheerful, to announce glad news, messenger, preach, publish, show forth, bear, bring, carry, preach, tell, good tidings. If you allow me to put it this way, taking those two definitions and mashing them together, he said, I just got something fresh. But this day, thou shalt bear good tidings. Ahimaaz said, in essence, Joab, let me run. Let me run today. Let me run now. And Joab said, not today. Another day, perhaps. Ahimaaz can run. Ahimaaz wants to run. Ahimaaz is asking to run. But ultimately, whether or not he gets to run is out of his hands. Somebody else is in charge of the runners. Somebody, hey, if it's in your heart to run, then you need to listen to what I'm saying now. If it's already been announced that you are a runner, you need to hear what I'm telling you now. May I say, someone else is in charge of our running. Somebody else is in charge of sending runners at his own discretion. I remember one day, many years ago, I've already dated myself once. When I talked about, well, twice, cassette tapes and preaching in the rearview mirror in the 90s. But I remember one day, I was just in Doc Wells' office, and I was talking to him, and I was expressing to him, man, I want to preach, man. Pastor, I really feel like I'd like to be an evangelist. I don't know, I just want to preach. And seems like evangelists get to preach a lot, so that sounds good, you know. And I remember he looked at me with all that sage wisdom and said, you got any meetings booked? Huh. And I said, no, sir. And he said, well, there you go.
Yeah.
My little soul was crushed because all I wanted to do was run. That's his way of saying, glad you got the desire to run. Glad it's in your heart to run, son. But like Joab said, not today. Somebody else is in charge of when you get to run. Amen. God's in charge of calling runners. And he's also in charge of when and where they'll run. Notice the preference, verse 21. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell. Now why did Joab turn right around and send Cushai to do the exact same thing that Ahimaaz has been standing there begging to do? Only Joab knows. But this time, Joab preferred Cushai over Ahimaaz. That is another hard lesson to learn. Are y'all still out there? That's another hard lesson to learn as a runner. Here's the thing, and I believe I've learned some of this. I was reminded of it last night. I'm not Pastor Larry Wells. I'm not Pastor Ledbetter. I'm not Brother Andy Wells. I'm not Brother Barry Rapley. I'm not Brother Stephen Aldridge. I'm not Brother Chad Watson. Listening to those men makes me want to run. But I can't run like them. I can't run like them. I tried to run like them. I tried to mimic, down through the years, I've tried to mimic their actions, and I've tried to mimic their voice inflections, and I've tried to mimic how they prepare outlines, and I finally figured out, I'm just not them. I can't run like them. Here's the thing. That's exactly right. You're not them, and I'm not them, and they're not you, and they're not me. And God, Let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi. Verse 23, but howsoever, said he, let me run. That word howsoever, it means two things, and they kind of cooperate together to give us one good idea. It's an interrogative, what? You know, question mark. Interrogative, what? It includes how, why, when, all of that question mark. But it's also an exclamation, including what, how, why. So here's the picture. Let me run. Let me also run. Let me now run. Not today. Cushi, take off.
Yeah.
What? Y'all see? He's sitting there saying, what just happened here? I'm begging to run. And I've got a message to take. What just, y'all see that? In essence, Ahimaaz is asking Joab, why are you using him but you're not using me? Again, I don't have the answers to all that. But that's Joab's business. I'm moving on. The preparation, verse 22. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi. Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready? Starting to get a little bit of an answer now, a little bit of an idea, a little bit of what's going on in Joab's mind and his thinking. He said, let me run. And Joab said, why? He used the word, wherefore? For what reason? For what purpose? Wanting to run for the sake of running.
Yeah.
It's not reason enough for God to let us run. What purpose does it serve for God to allow me to run? He said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready? He said, no, you're not running today. You don't have any tidings ready. You're not ready yet. You're not running today. You have no tidings ready. You've nothing to tell. You're not running today, son. You're just not ready to run. God allowing opportunities to run has much to do with preparation. It has much to do with the preparation of the runner. It has much to do with the preparation of the man. It has much to do with the preparation of the messenger. It has much to do with the preparation of a message. It has to serve God's purpose. No matter how bad I want to run, no matter how bad you want to run, what purpose does it serve in God's mind? As runners, as we mature and grow and develop, as we study and learn, and as God starts giving us something, He'll start giving us a place to give that something. Amen. That's exactly right. Let me move on. Notice the progression. Verse 19, let me now run. Verse 22, let me also run. Verse 23, let me run. Now, when he said, let me now run, he's trying to dictate the timing. Let me run now. When he said, let me run also, he's trying to compete with other runners. He's more concerned about the running of others than he is his own running. But then when he finally just said, just let me run, there's no connection with, there's no competition with other runners. There's no consideration for the running of others. It's all about his personal desire to run. So we're getting closer to God letting us run when we stop trying to dictate to God our running. Let me now run. We're getting closer to God letting us run when we stop comparing our running to other runners. Let me run also.
We're getting closer to running when we stop trying to convince God that we can run just as well as other runners. Just concentrate on our fellowship with God, the one who called us to run. Let me run. You see that progression? Notice the pace. Verse 23, then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain. As it turns out, there were two ways to get from where Ahimaaz was to where David was. There was a short way and a long way. The short way was over the mountain. The long way was around the plain. Ahimaaz chose to run around the plain. Took the long way. Cushai took the shorter way, but the harder way up the mountain and down. What are you driving at? I'm simply saying that the path, it's not about the easy way or the hard way, and it's not about the short way or the long way. It's about you running your path. What's it matter which direction Cushai ran? You run your path. What's it matter how brother so-and-so did it? You do it the way God tells you to do it. Amen. Boy, I'm moving fast. You're not your pastor. Stop trying to be him. You're not your favorite evangelist. You're not your favorite visiting preacher. So stop trying to run their path. You run the path God put you on. Notice the pace. The Bible said in verse 23 that he overran Cushai. The pace. This is not a race. The goal is not to outrun other runners. Amen. The goal is not to outrun other runners. It's about running your individual race and pacing yourself as God would have you run. Amen. Run the path God gives you. Run the pace God gives you. Verse 24, 26, the parting. Twice it said the man was running alone. Running can be a lonely endeavor. The personage, verse 27, he was known for his running. The watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz. When people saw Ahimaaz running, I don't know if he had a strange gait. I don't know if he had a hitch in his step or if he just had a funny way of doing an arm in stride. I don't know. But when they saw Ahimaaz running, they said, there goes Ahimaaz. Even from afar, there goes Ahimaaz. Amen. He was known for his running. He was known for his rapport. The king said in verse 27, he's a good man. What a compliment that the king knew about Ahimaaz and said he's a good man. And by the way, you'll not be an effective runner if you're not a good man. Amen. No matter how good you run, if you ain't a good man, you'll not be a good runner. And then he was known for his reporting, the tidings. The king said in verse 27, he's a good man and cometh with good tidings. Known for his running, he's a good man with a good message. Amen. Then the proclamation, this is a problem, verse 28 and 29. He carried the tidings of the death of Absalom, but only in a roundabout way. He wouldn't just go ahead and just give the whole message. If you're going to run, you got to preach it all. If you're going to run, you just got to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Amen. I'm done. I'm finished. As a preacher, all we want to do is run. The calling on our life says run. The burning desire in our heart is to run. Let me run. Let me run. Let me run. Let me run. Is there anybody, any of you young men, and there's something in your heart that says, let me run, let me run, let me run. I know there are some that just want it because they want it. If you figure out that it's bigger than that, and you figure out it's bigger than you, then you need to find yourself a place somewhere and say, hey, I remember what I said when I surrendered. I said, I don't know what God's going to do in my life. All I know to say is God has called me to preach, and it's been on ever since. Thank God he's let me run. Yes. Yes. Let me run, preacher, I'm through. Yes.